Well, thank you for this opportunity to be able to stand before you this day and present a lesson from God's Word. I want you to keep your psalm books out. As Jason stated, we're going to do things a little different today, this afternoon, but yet it will be scriptural. As Ezra read, we're to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Follow along, if you will, through the scriptures that I present, and also I hope that I want to invite you to help me send this message this day through our songs. Through the songs that we sing, there is a message. The title of this is God's Wise Design. This was prompted by a song that we used to sing in the Sacred Selections book called The Church of God. It's not in our psalm book that we have now. I wish it was. But since we don't, I want to read the verses in this song to get the thought for this afternoon. God's family is His church divine, begun, sustained by His wise design. The ark of age and the shrine of youth, from her alone goes the word of truth. Beyond are those who are conquered, who have conquered death. Below are they who abide in faith. The twain yon host and the saints of earth, one household, are by a holy birth. What glory there, O blessings here, one hope, one Lord, and His name to wear, one creed meeting every need, all nations blessed by His righteous seed. In the chorus, the church of Christ redeemed by His blood, what a purchase price, the kingdom of God. And the saints abode, the realm of life for the sons of God. Yes, from the beginning of time, God had a plan, and that plan was to create a family. And by faith, that family would listen to His wishes and obey His will. That family was to remain faithful without faltering, live with one hope, one Lord, wear His name as one church, and then conquer death to be with God in a glorious reunion. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter and the fourth verse to the sixth verse speaks this sentiment. That's the way it started until man sinned. And to get things back on track, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to minister to mankind here on earth, to set forth the proper pattern, the doctrine, and the standards for man to follow. Then Jesus had to die to show a greater sacrifice and open the door to our salvation. But before He left, God let us know that this was truly His Son when He said in Matthew the 17th chapter and verse 5, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." He wanted the whole world to know that His Son was the Savior of the world. 1 John 4 and verse 14. He wanted the whole world to know. He wanted us to know that Jesus was the only pattern for us to live by. 1 Timothy 1 and 16, He walked and He spoke a pure life without guile. Matthew 16, 18, He let everyone know that Jesus was the builder of the church and that would carry on the work when He said, "Upon this rock I will build My church." And in Ephesians 2 and 20, we're told that Jesus was the cornerstone, the foundation of the church. So the wise design has been laid. It's been laid out for you and I, and for all to see and to believe. Now the purpose of this lesson is to think about this wise design as we sing here today, as we study these scriptures, and that we sing with a spirit and the understanding as is stated in 1 Corinthians the 14th chapter and the 15th verse. As we sing and as we study our Bibles, we will better understand this wise design. We will better see how wonderful God's Word is and has been for us all. As you'll notice, there's songs on the board. And it'll give you the number, it'll give you the name of the song. If you will stay with me, go to these numbers when you see them approach and be ready to sing the verses that are specified. This first song that we're going to sing is number 405. It's Wonderful Words of Life. This is what we want to learn, those wonderful words of life that was handed down to us. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life, let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life, words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. The psalmist stated his desire, as should be ours, in Psalms the 86th chapter and verse 11, which says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in the truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." Whenever we're down and depressed and we feel as if we can't go any further and we need comforted, we can always pick up God's word. We can always open the pages of his word and read the story of Christ and what all he went through and realize our life isn't that bad. The next song, number 156, all three verses. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sing as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected and poor. Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in the story so tender, clearer than ever I see.
ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
But is this just a story? Or is it a fairy tale? We didn't actually see Christ. How do we know that this is true? The Hebrew writer states it well. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen." There are many things in our lives that we haven't seen. We've only heard about it. We've read in the history books. But we have faith that these things are true. And we live on that faith. That same principle is true with God's word and the evidence around us that is placed before us. We can see what all God has created. We can see all of the truths that are evident. Number 167, all four verses. We saw thee not when thou didst come to this poor world of sin and death, nor yet beheld thy cottage home in that despised Nazareth. But we believe that perfect throne, the streets and plains, thou Son of God. But we believe thy footsteps run in streets and plains, thou Son of God. We saw thee not when lifted high amid that wild and savage crew, nor heard we their imploring cry, "Forgive, they know not what they do." But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. We gaze not in the open tomb, where once thy mangled body lay, nor saw thee in that upper room, nor met thee on the open way. But we believe that angels burn, why sink the living in the dead? But we believe that angels said, why seek the living with the dead? We walk not with the chosen few who saw thee from the earth ascend, who raised to heaven their wondering view. Then low to earth all prostrate been. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies. It is that same faith that great men of old had spoken of in Hebrews 11. By faith, verse 4, Abel offered up unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. By faith, Noah, verse 7, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, verse 8, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have after received for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then there's our faith. 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter and verse 13 says, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. How strong will we be on to hold on to his word? Through faith, God's words of instruction was delivered by the fathers, by the prophets, and later by his son. Now he has left it us to spread the gospel. He has told us in Mark 16, 15 to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We must realize that we now are God's instruments of delivering his word. So we must prepare ourselves. We must study his word. 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, dividing the word of truth. And then we must treat this word as precious. The fathers, the prophets, and Christ have all passed on, so Christ has no hands but our hands. Number 277, the first verse, precious words.
Precious forever, oh wonderful words, teach me the pathway of duty. Lead me beside the still waters of life, flowing through valleys of beauty. Precious forever to you and to me, words that our Savior has spoken. Bearing salvation far over the sea, healing the hearts that are broken.
Now the fathers, the prophets, and Christ have all passed on, so Christ has no hands but our hands. Number 460, we are the world's Bible.
Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how he died. He has no helm but our helm to bring them to his side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message, given in deed and word. What if the time is crooked? What if the print is blurred?
We have a duty to spread the word throughout the world. We can do this by our words and our deeds. So, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Number 454, the first and fourth verse.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wonderful passion and purity. May his spirit divide. mine. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. From the dawn of the morning to close of day, in example, in deeds, and in all you say, lay your gifts at his feet, ever time to keep swing. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you.
We show the beauty of Christ through his righteousness, through his obedience, through his faithfulness. As we become stronger in the Lord, we need to have the willingness to carry on God's plan in spreading the gospel and seeking to save that which is lost. The first century Christian demonstrated their eagerness in spite of their trials and their hardships and their persecutions. Acts the 8th chapter, verses 4 and 5, we're told that therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. It didn't stop them. Sometimes I believe that we need more persecution. We need more trials, so as to stir us up, to pick up and go and deliver the good news as the first century Christians did. We sing a song, another song that's not in our book. It's called Lord Send Me. I'd like to take a moment to read the words of this, the first, second, and fourth verse. It says, there's much to do. There's work on every hand. Hark, the cry for help comes ringing through the land. Jesus calls for reapers. I must act to be. What wilt thou, O Master? Here am I, send me. There's the plaintive cry of mourning souls distressed and the sigh of hearts who seek but find no rest. These should have my love and tender sympathy, ready at thy bidding. Here am I, Lord, send me. There are souls who linger on the brink of woe. Lord, I must not, I cannot bear to let them go. Let me go and tell them, brother, turn and flee. Master, I would save them, Jesus. Master, I would save them. Here am I, send me. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter and the 15th verse says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason to the hope that is in you, with meekness and in fear. Song number 385. What did he do? The first verse.
Oh, listen to our wondrous story. Once we knelt out on the loss. Yeah, Jesus, in heaven's glory, saving us at awful cost. Who saved us from eternal loss? What did he do? Where is he now? In heaven interceding.
Are we anxious to tell others of Jesus and the way of salvation? Paul told Titus in Titus 2:11, he says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. We have the opportunities around us. We have the word to go with us. We have those around about us that are just willing and waiting for the gospel to come to them. We've got to take it. The gospel is available to all mankind. Jesus came to the earth to seek and save all those that are lost. We have that responsibility to deliver that. Number 424. First and last verse.
Of one the Lord has made the race, through one has come the fall. Where sin has gone must go his grace, the gospel is for all. The blessed gospel is for all, the gospel is for all. Where sin has is grace, the gospel is for all. Receive ye freely, freely give from every land they call. Unless they hear, they cannot live. The gospel is for all. The blessed gospel is for all. The gospel is for all. Where sin has gone, must go his grace. The gospel is for all.
You see, the gospel is for all. All have been asked to come, and many don't hear. And those that hear are not accepting. We have the challenge set before us to see to it that all hear the gospel. Are you willing to be workers for the Lord in spreading that gospel? Number 504.
I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to last in His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker every day. I want to lead the erring in the way that leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker, help me, Lord, to live in Jesus' power to say, I want to clearly come, that I'll find a happy home in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord.
Our work must never end. Must never be an ending work, day and night, believing that there might not be a tomorrow. Have you ever thought about that? Let us help one another daily in teaching and admonishing. And when we become weary and worn, let us look beyond the horizon when our Lord and Savior comes again to take us to heaven to praise and worship our God above. Number 381, work for the night is coming. All three verses.
Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work is bringing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done. Work for the night is coming. and man's works no more. Work, for the night is coming under the sunset skies, while the bright tents are glowing. Work, for daylight flies. Work till the last beam fadeth to shine no more. Work while the night is darkening, when man's work knows all.
Christ felt it important to work now. John 9:4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So why is this message so important? Luke 19:10 tells us, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. He left that for us. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and verse 2, tells us that, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. So as I hope you see the wise plan that our Master has laid out for us, are you ready and prepared to stand the test? Are you prepared to spread the gospel? Bring in the lost sheep? Meet your Master? We've heard the word this very day. Question is, do we believe it? If we believe it, we have an obligation to relieve ourselves of all sins by repentance. We must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because he's the one that gave us this message. We must be baptized for the remission of our sins. And just as important, we need to be a part of his wise design. So I ask you, who will follow Jesus? Please stand.
Who will follow Jesus?